Welcome back to the Finsiders. Greg Likens here alongside Troy Stratford, Chris Chambers, Tristan Jones, the Metro PCS Comment Center. You can join the chat online with Tristan at Dolphins.com. Join us on the show by texting 347-347. Right now, we're going to head out to the Metro PCS hotline and bring in Matt Williamson, NFL scout for ESPN.com. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. We really appreciate you joining us, and let's start this off. We're in Dolphins world as Mike Pouncey's injury news came down yesterday. Disappointing for everybody. How does this affect the offensive line and this offense as a whole going forward in Miami?
Yeah, it's rough. I just wrote something about this actually about an hour ago for ESPN.com, and a big thing I stressed in that short article is, you know, I think, you know, when you look at this offensive line as a whole, you know, they obviously are bringing in two new guards, two new tackles to start, most likely was the plan. I think they very much wanted to get away from the incognito, Clabo type of mauling offensive lineman, instead to get more of the Eagles, Lane Johnson, Mathis, athletic type of lineman to run an up-tempo approach, especially in the Miami Heat. You know, you don't want big fat guys getting tired. So not only are they bringing in four new players because the offensive line was so poor last year, I think they're trying to target a different type of player, you know, the athletic guys. And I think Jones fits that, the first-round pick. The guard from the Rams, I think, certainly fits that. So they're trying to do two things here, not only rebuild an offensive line, but change the system. And the only guy that they had that was a staple from the previous regime was at the most important position, in my opinion, for in terms of instituting a change. You know, you want your quarterback to be your center. You want the guy to make all the line calls to be a veteran, to be somebody you can count on. And yes, Pouncey would be learning like the rest of them, but at least he's been there, and at least he was somebody that you could count on and say, okay, we have a good football player here. He can lead the change during this stretch, you know, during mini camps, during preseason. And now he's not going to be there for that. So even when you do get him back, if you're fortunate enough to get him back for the first game of the year, which seems unlikely. You guys would probably know better than I would. You know, he's going to be well behind, and that's a position that you don't want to be behind from a mental perspective. And, oh, by the way, he might be the best center in the league.
Yes, certainly.
And no matter who you're putting in there is worse.
Right.
You know, by a drastic stretch.
Yeah, it's certainly disappointing for all the different reasons you just mentioned. And you're also mentioning this new system that Bill Lazor is implementing as the new offensive coordinator. What are you hearing about that, and how do you think this is going to affect Ryan Tannehill at the quarterback position?
I'm still very much a Tannehill fan, and I think I'm higher on him than most people out there across the country. I think he needs to improve his deep accuracy, you know, and I didn't see that as a problem with him at A&M, so I'm not sold that he's an incapable deep passer, and I think he needs to handle pressure better, and that's kind of a chicken or egg situation. Was, you know, maybe he shouldn't be under pressure so much either. I mean, the poor guy is constantly under pressure. I think from a mental perspective, he's, by all accounts, should be able to handle it. That's a tough thing for me to comment on, but I mean, I think he has a good feel for the position. I think he has all the ability in the world. I think his legs will be utilized more than the previous regime did. You know, we didn't see a lot of that from Nick Foles, but we do know that the Chip Kelly system stresses a mobile quarterback, and I think, you know, Tannehill's athletic enough to pull that off for sure. You know, I look at Mike Wallace and think he's DeSean Jackson, and an improved line should help him as well. I mean, I think he's somebody that's gone under the radar quite a bit and could be have a bounce back season in this system if the line is better and they can actually throw deep and use his skills. So I think the offense will be improved. I'm not, as it sounds like the Dolphins, I was never a big Marino fan, no Sean Marino fan, and, you know, we're not hearing anything good about him since he's been in Miami. But I do think Lamar Miller is more Shady McCoy-like than he is, than Marino is. So maybe he, you know, can step up his game, and you're hearing all kinds of good things about him. Although his type of running back receiver should excel in, you know, 7-on-7 drills and whenever they're not hitting for real. I mean, he's more of a finesse guy, speed, moves. So those are the type of players that do excel this time of year. I'm still a little skeptical. I'm curious to see him in the preseason.
Matt, given the idea, let's guess in that it's going to be more of a Chip Kelly offense style offense down here for the Miami Dolphins. What do you think is the most key component position wise in this system? Is it the quarterback? Is it Shady McCoy type? Is it that fast wide receiver that can stretch the field? In your opinion, which is the most important ingredient?
You know, Chip Kelly inherited Deshaun Jackson, had him for a year, and then parted ways with him. And he went to bigger receivers. I mean, I think that was something that is kind of overlooked, that Kelly didn't have his guys in Philadelphia last year. I mean, it's a long process to instill the players you want. So I don't know that the finesse deep receiver is a must in that offense. In fact, I think that he really wants receivers that can actually block, too. I mean, the common misconception is this is just a high-paced, throw-it-all-over-the-field type of offense. And while it is high-paced, it's a very run-heavy scheme. And he wants everybody to be able to block, especially when you have a home run threat like a McCoy, like a Miller, that if you can have a receiver spring a block, I mean, and Chris Chambers knows this better than anybody, that if, you know, a receiver can make a block deep downfield, that could end up being a long touchdown run for your back. And yeah, I think that's something that they do stress from that position. And I think it's a very tight end centric offense too. You know, I mean, I think he's going to ask his tight ends to do a lot of different things. I think Zach Ertz is a breakout candidate this year in Philadelphia, and we saw a lot of those things from Charles Clay. I mean, I think Clay is a key component in this offense that'll probably be asked to even do more things.
Matt Williamson, NFL scout for ESPN.com, joining us on the Finsiders on the Metro PCS hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, at WilliamsonNFL. All right, let's switch to the defensive side of the ball. The big buzz and the big adjustment that's being made on that side is that Koumissi is making the transition from the outside to the middle linebacker position. Is this a good fit for the Dolphins, moving Misi to the inside?
You know, I saw him coming out of school as a 3-4 outside linebacker type, you know, that tweener type that's very popular in the NFL today. And it has not been dynamic enough coming off the edge to be that guy. And now they have Deion Jordan, and that again pushes Misi's role to somewhere else. Unfortunately, I kind of think that this is a move that is a last-ditch effort to try to get something out of the guy, as opposed to, boy, this is exciting. You know, he's going to come in and be the answer. I think it's more like we know what he can't do, and everything we've asked of him coming off the edge hasn't really worked for the guy, that we're going to push him inside and hope to get something out of him, and who knows, maybe he doesn't even make the team. And actually, Houston's doing the same thing with Brooks Reed. You know, he just wasn't dynamic enough as a 4-3 outside linebacker. Let's try him on the inside, but it's not a positive move, in my opinion.
All right, so you mentioned that when Koa came in, he was kind of the pass-rushing type. You look at the pass rushers that do exist on this Dolphins team, Cam Wake, Olivier Vernon, aforementioned Deion Jordan, Derek Shelby. I mean, how good is this unit? Where would you rank them across the NFL?
I guess that depends on Jordan, and to me, he's the huge wild card. I think Wake is still a Pro Bowl-caliber player, has had an absolutely great career in Miami, and for some reason, the rest of the nation doesn't realize how good he is. I mean, he might have taken a slight step back last year, but I still think he's going to be highly disruptive. I think Vernon's a heck of a number two defensive end. I mean, as a pure 4-3 D end, who's the number two guy, I mean, he's the Alvin Harper to the Michael Irvin. I think he's more than fine. The comment on Jordan's difficult, though. I mean, if I'm going to rank the edge pass rushers against the rest of the league, Jordan, you know, I don't know where you put him. You know, I mean, I don't know where you stack him up against the rest of the league. I mean, he needs to come in huge this year. They spent an awful lot to get him. I love his ability. I think he can be a Julian Peterson type guy that, you know, could cover a slot guy at times, can run with, you know, big tight ends, can play the edge, can drop into coverage, can certainly rush the passer, but he needs to get stronger, and it's sort of a mystery, and you guys probably know better than I do, is why wasn't he on the field more last year? And I wonder if he, you know, those guys could easily be a very talented guy that just doesn't have a role. And to me, this is going to be an absolutely critical season for his career and really the Dolphins defense because of him.
Yes, it certainly is. We're looking forward to seeing how he performs this year, Matt. And there were a lot of injuries last year that I think weren't talked about that had to do with Deion Jordan not having as much of an impact. But Matt, really appreciate you joining us. And again, you can follow Matt Williamson on Twitter, at WilliamsonNFL. Thanks for the insight, Matt. Look forward to catching up with you again.
All right, guys. Good stuff. Take care.
All right. There he is, Matt Williamson, NFL scout for ESPN.com, joining us on the Metro PCS hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS hotline, visit thefinsiders.com.